Let's stand together as we share in the gospel lesson from the book of Mark. This is a passage where Jesus was teaching by a lakeside, and a crowd gathered around him that was so large that Jesus had to get into a boat and push out away from the lakeside. And the people gathered all around the water's edge to listen to Jesus' words. And this is what the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 says. It was that day when evening came. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake that they were on." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern and sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Oh, this is God's word for you, God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, how fitting that song was, Sherry, and to today's message. You have no idea, but you're soon to see how fitting that that testimony and that song. You know, church, we all struggle with disappointments in our life. We all face those times, those moments when disappointments come. That's just part of life, and we all struggle with that in some way or another, no matter how small or how large. You know, it wasn't too many years ago that I had bought this F-350 Super Duty 6.7 turbo diesel pickup truck, which doesn't maybe mean a whole lot to the ladies of our congregation, but to the guys, we're saying, "Oh, now that's a truck." Yeah. And oh, how I love my truck. And I hadn't had it for not even a week, and I kind of got the accessorizing bug. And, you know, you can't keep that little plastic chintzy dealer plate in the front. You got to get something that personalizes, something that's different, something that's unique, for your truck. And of course, those factory mats, they're not going to do, not with winter coming, because you're going to have these WeatherTech floor liners that do the superimposed laser technology and all. You kind of got to have that. And then comes the little storage bin for your tools that go underneath your seat and a sprayed-on bed liner or maybe even better, a padded bed rug. So if you do have to get up in there and your knees are a little sore, then you can crawl around and it's nice and soft. But the thing that I knew that I was going to have to pick up was a tonneau cover, to keep everything out of sight and to keep everything dry in the back of your truck. I mean, you just kind of have, that just kind of goes hand in hand with the truck. Right, guys? Yeah. You know, now my wife seems to think that I've got a problem. So here I was over at the candy store, or the automotive store, looking at all of the goodies and checking out the tonneau covers. And do I get the fiberglass 700 series that Lear makes? And oh, that's a sweet looking little cover. And are there again, the undercover is a really nice cover, but it does have the two keys on the outside. It's a little awkward, but I really like those covers and they've got really good reviews. But at the same time, the Access Laredo, I had an Access Laredo before, and I really liked the cover, and it rolls up nice, and you can get into it, and it's got that good leather feel. And so I got to talking to the sales manager, because I'm kind of really leaning toward the Lear, the brown one up here on top, and he says, "Well, have you seen the new undercover?" Oh, well, no, I hadn't. And I tell you what, there it was. It was like a sign from heaven. You know, just what I was looking for. Man, it had that hard tunnel feel. It stands up to the heavy snows, and it weighed only 68 pounds. In fact, there was a picture of a 10-year-old holding it, you know, up all by herself. And, you know, and certainly it was so much lighter than the heavy, you know, Lear cover fiberglass. It takes about four people to take that on and off. I could take that off by myself. And plus, it had this cool little LED light that was mounted up inside the cover, and it would detach, and you could hang it from different places in the cover. And it had a magnet that you could stick to the side of your truck so you could put it in different places for light. And then, don't want to lose that. The next cool thing it had this cool little load grabber. And it was built right in to, so whenever your stuff shifted up to the front of the truck, you just pop it off, reach in there, and pull. Isn't that slick? You just pull it right back to you. And, you know, it was like my accessory, you know, had accessories. Oh, and this was probably the coolest feature. You could take your truck key and you would slip it into the lock, and it would code your truck key. All right, so you didn't have to have an extra topper key. It would code your truck key to that, and so you only had to have one key, and it was so cool. And I said, I want one. Okay, I've got to have it. This is heaven sent. And it was like the best thing since peanut butter and jelly. And so let's get it ordered right now. So we get up to the counter, and he starts putting in all my information, and I'm just I'm a happy guy. And he says, oh, no. And I said, what do you mean, oh, no? Don't be saying that. And he said, they're not making them for the F1, for the F-350s. They're only making them for the F-150s. And it's like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? And so, there's this little tear that starts coming down my eye. And he said, well, now hold on. He said, let me call the company and let's find out when they're going to be making these covers for your truck. And I said, okay, because hopefully it won't be too long, because I'm going to hold off, you know, for this cover. I'll hold off. And so he gets on the phone and he looks at me and he says, they're not only not making them for the 350s yet, they have no plans to ever make them for the 350s at this time, because most 350s, they pull campers and they need the kind that roll up. And so he said, they'll probably never make them for the 350, undercover tells them. And so I want to tell you, I was just heartbroken. I was so disillusioned and disappointed. I left that store empty-handed, still not knowing what kind of cover. I ended up getting the Access Laredo, but it was a sad, sad day, church. It was so. But I want you to know is that disappointments come to all of us in life. And sometimes they're just things like, you know, like finding just the right cover for your truck, only for it to fall apart, you know, at the very last second. And sometimes those disappointments, though, can be so huge, so intense, that we wonder how in the world we're ever going to be able to get beyond. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this morning, because, you know, in life we all deal with our disappointments. They're large at times, sometimes they're huge, and we don't know how we're going to get through, and sometimes they're just the little things in life, but we all have them. We all have them. Sometimes it's with family, often it's with family. Sometimes it's in our work, our school, our health issues is a big one, right, Elaine? We've been struggling with Mick, you know, and yourself. You know, we have those disappointments. Sometimes it's a friend, isn't it? Or we're disappointed in something that happens in our community or in our world. But without a doubt, we all deal with disappointments. And chances are today that there are those here in our church that's dealing with some kind of disappointment. It might be something really minor, or it could be one of those big, huge undertakings that just where we feel like we're going to go under for the last time. And so today I want you to just hear that our God is the God who truly meets us where we are. And without a doubt, as we place our lives in God's hands, listen, He brings to us a fresh start, a new beginning, a new way to look at life, even in our disappointments. Even in the midst of your greatest disappointment, know that God is present always to help. And I'm convinced that with God and in Christian community, with one another, that a person can rise above the difficulties and the disappointments that come to us in life, because God hears our cries, church. And God is faithful, and in human disappointment, there is no better place to be but in the arms of God as we turn to God. You see, this is what those men that day from Mark's gospel did when they were being tossed around by the sea. They cried out to Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus was asleep when this great squall, this great storm blew up. It almost swamped the boat, and the disciples, they turn to Jesus and they wake Him up, and in their panic they cry out, "Don't you care if we drown?" You know? Don't you care if we drown? I wonder sometimes if we feel like that in our disappointments and those things that break us up. You know, Jesus, don't you care? Well, you know, Jesus does care, doesn't He? Jesus does care. Jesus, he stands up and He speaks the word to the storm. Remember, do you remember how the world began? You remember back in Genesis when the world began? God just speaks the word and light is created. Wind and water and land, the heavens above and all living creation below was created when God just spoke the word. And just as Jesus spoke the word, you know, just as He did in creation, the wind and the waves obeyed the Creator. He's the same God, isn't He? Today, yesterday, and forever. The wind, the waves had to obey. And the water becomes completely still. Now, this is early in Jesus' ministry. And the disciples have only witnessed just a few of Jesus' miracles. And so before this event, the disciples, they really could have attributed Jesus' miracles to a man just being really blessed by God with the gift of healing, or perhaps it was some kind of slide with hands or some kind of trickery thing or by some other means, but not now. No one controls nature. No one can control the wind and the sea. No one but Jesus. Mark tells us that the disciples, they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Oh, if the disciples hadn't figured it out, if there had been any kind of question in their mind, it was evident now. Jesus was not just a great healer and a wonderful storyteller. Oh, no, He wasn't just a prophet. He was so much more than that. He had to be divine in order to do what He had just done. And of course, as we read the story, we already know this. You know, we know that in time that these disciples, they come to know Jesus as the Messiah. They come to know Him as the very Son of God. But at this point of the disciples' journey, they're just now starting to figure this all out. But you know, as I think about this story, there's a couple phrases that stand out to me, especially as I think about life's disappointments and difficulties and where Jesus is and all of that. And the two statements that come to me are, "Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" Which Jesus does not answer verbally. He just stands up and commands the wind and the waves to be quiet, to be still. And then Jesus responds, Do you still have no faith? First question, don't you care if we drown? Now that's an interesting question, and it's probably a question that many of us have asked, and maybe all of us will ask. It was about 4 or 5 years ago, one of my best friends, a very strong Christian, John, he had been working as one of the department head managers in an egg production plant for about 18, almost 20 years. And John experienced firsthand the disappointment and the bite of age discrimination. John was 56 years old. He was the, like I said, he was one of the managers there at the plant. In fact, he was the head manager at the plant. And the head over everyone, the plant manager, asked him if he would train two assistants who were in their 20s, younger, pulling now probably, you know, half his salary. And so John says, well, of course I'll do that. And he's kind of thinking that, well, this is going to be good for whenever he's away on plant business, which he's often gone, and or whenever he's out of town. And of course, you know where this is going. And so after these men were trained, his boss, the plant manager, showed up at his house on a Saturday evening and tells him that you don't need to come back to work on Monday. We're going to go in a new direction. And he turns around and he leaves. That's all he says. That's it. And you talk about a kick in the teeth. You know, here he is, 18 years, giving his life to this place, on salary, working all kinds of crazy hours, going in whenever they needed him, and often on the weekends, often on Sundays, and now with no warning, you know, no job, no insurance. What's he going to do? You know, it was no doubt the biggest disappointment in his life. But that disappointment didn't end there. He was 56 years old, and who's going to hire a skilled manager in their mid-50s and pay them what they're worth? Right? Everywhere he looked, he just kept hitting walls, interview after interview, dashes, his hope just dashed, and hope after hope, overqualified, disappointments continued to pile higher and higher. Who's going to hire this man only to know that in 10 years he's going to be gone when he retires, let alone his salary? About 9 months, he finally picks up a manager position, paying about half of what he was making before. But unfortunately, that really didn't work out because egg production management didn't really fit in so well with toy production. And so it was months and months later that he took a substitute bus driver job. And this led then in turn to a full route of doing bus routes. And then he just kind of eked through. John took every kind of opportunity that he could, to make a little extra money, to, you know, driving the kids to ball games and the girls to the track meets and choir competitions, and picking up hours wherever he could. He did what he could to try to make ends meet, but it was so disappointing. And now he's like 59 years old. Three, almost 4 years have passed, and he's resigned to be a school bus driver. And he and his wife, they just kind of watch their savings, their life savings just slip away as they struggle to make their mortgage payments, trying to sell their home on the lake. They had it listed for like 2 years, no offers, and they just keep plugging away, trying to make the best of it, trying to keep their chins high without going into depression. Lord, don't you care if we drown? It's a good question, isn't it? A lot of folks ask that question. I want to tell you, John amazed me. Even though even though he hit wall after wall after wall, and he watched all of his life savings dwindle to nothing, and he struggled every day just to make ends meet, and often they didn't. He pretty much became resigned to being a school bus driver the rest of his life. But you know, he never gave up his trust and his faith that God was with him. He held on firm to that only foundation that he knew. He was unmovable in his faith. And you know, he had questions. He had questions. You know, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from all of this? You know, Lord, I think I've learned enough. You know, Lord, just please help me, you know. But the one question that he didn't spend much time on was, Lord, don't you care? Because he always believed that God was there with him and God was there for him, and that God was walking with him in this hard path. He knew that he could lose everything in his life, but the one thing that he could not be taken away from him was his faith and his love and his trust with the Lord. Don't you care if we drown? You know, Jesus answered his disciples' question by showing his care. Quiet, he said. Be still. And the wind and the waves, they obeyed his command. And then he showed them the root of their fear by asking, do you still have no faith? You know, it's so easy to think that somehow God abandons us whenever we face dark times. And you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. Throughout Scripture, we read story after story of God being present and delivering his people from bondage and the bondage of hurt and pain. And numerous places we read in Scripture like how God joins us and walks with us through the valley of the shadow. Or we turn to places like 2 Corinthians 4 and we read, we have trouble all around us, but oh, we're not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we do not give up in the hope of the Lord. We're persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. And then we look at stories from Jesus' life, like today. A group of men, frightened to death, sure that today was going to be their very last day, as this violent storm's breaking over their boat. It's swamping them, ready to send them into the deep. And where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in that story? Right there in the boat with them. Where is it that where's Jesus when we feel like we're going down for the last time, church? Where's Jesus when our life is breaking in two? Where's Jesus when we're facing our greatest disappointments, our challenges in life? Where is he? He's right there in the boat with you. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of this truth. But you see, that's what faith is all about. It's trusting that Jesus is in the boat with us. And even if life is falling apart and our greatest fears are seeming to come true, faith tells us that God will be right here with us, helping us through, because God is for us. And God is with us. You know, my dear friend, he never stopped believing that God was for him and that God was with him, even in the midst of his deepest despair. You see, this is faith. This is the kind of, of faith that Jesus spoke to his disciples about on that day when he said, "Where's your faith? Have you no faith?" You see, this is the kind of faith that Jesus was wanting to develop in the lives of his disciples, that no matter what comes your way in life, that, you know, the wind or the waves, the storms of life, even if we feel like we're going down for the last time, he says, hold on. Hold on to the Lord. Don't ever give up believing and trusting that God is for us, that God is for you, and that God is with you in everything that you face, everything. And friends, that doesn't mean that everything's going to work out all nice and wonderful and fine. And if you just place your hands and your life in Jesus, and all your troubles and all your problems are going to go away. I want to tell you, that's a pretty naive way to think about faith. And that is not a biblical way to think about faith. Because what faith is, what the Bible does tell us, is that Jesus calls us to develop our faith. Faith that is rock solid in Him. Faith that says no matter what comes my way, even if the bottom does drop out and we don't think we can get any lower, and yet we still somehow do go lower, I'll not be moved. I'll not be moved. Faith that struggles at times with why sometimes external circumstances change, and sometimes they don't. Yet in all things, I'm still going to continue to place my trust in you, Lord. You see, this is the faith that Jesus was calling his disciples to whenever he asked, "Do you still have no faith?" I mean, even if the boat goes down and all is lost, do you still have no faith? My friend, John, he weathered his storm of disappointment and despair for almost four years. But you know, he knew that God was with him, and he kept his faith. He held on. And praise be to the Lord, you know, he finally received two full-time job offers, one of which guaranteed full benefits with a comparable to salary to what he had lost almost four years before. And in years of prayer and his life just turned upside down, it was like the storm had been lifted. It was like Jesus called out, "Quiet, be still." But you know, life doesn't always work out that way. And I have no doubt that for John, if he had never gotten that job offer and he'd lived the rest of his life as a school bus driver, he'd have been just fine. I have no doubt of that. His faith would not have been shaken because he knew that God was always there with him and that he was always there for him. Church, what I want you to get today is simply this. Know that our God is the one who truly meets us where we are in life. He brings to us a fresh start, a new beginning, a new way to look at life, even in our disappointments, because we'll all have them, large or small. God is for us. God is with us. And in our human disappointment, there's no place to turn but to the Lord. And that's the truth. No better place to turn, no better place to hold on to but the Lord. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, that we can hold on to you even in our disappointments, that we can trust that you are always there with us and you are always there for us. Lord, sometimes we have to be reminded of that, especially when we feel like we're going under for the last time, especially, Lord, when we feel that things can't get any worse, but yet they sometimes do. Lord, help us to have faith, that kind of faith that that Jesus was calling his disciples to, that kind of faith that eventually they came to, that faith knowing that no matter what happens, whether I live, whether I die, whether it works out, whether it all goes under, that I still trust, God, that you hold me in your hands, and that there is no better place than with you, and that you truly love us, and that you are with us, and that you are for us. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to share in and to experience that kind of faith. For this we ask and praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.